This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. The message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of November of the year 2013. In the month of November. And it's being put on audio in the month of November of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is found in St. John chapter 8 and verse number 32. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The title for this message, "The Truth is Out There." And this is part two of a three-part message. Now, when I left off last month, I had just started to explain what I call the difference between God's perfect and permissive will or grace. His perfect will is for us to continually pursue those things that He has directed us to be, and that is holy and perfect. His permissive will is when we, for whatever reason, may find ourselves in a situation where we are unable to pursue that goal. We want to do it, but can't. This has nothing to do with our refusal to do it. An example of this permissive will is a situation that people live in remote areas on the earth where they have no access to God's word and may in fact not even know that there is a God. In situations like this, God considers what these people have been exposed to as to whether His wrath will be poured out on them, or if so, how much. Now, if you will remember, I ended last month's message with this scripture and statement. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse number 47, says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, to him they will ask the more." An unsaved person and myself can commit the same offense to God, but because I knew better, I will suffer the most. This passage of scripture tells us that God considers how much knowledge we have of him in deciding how to deal with us. The more we know about him and have been told about him, and our response to that information determines just how much punishment we will suffer if we reject it. Needless to say, in this nation, with churches on every corner just about, Christian programming on TV, the radio, the internet, and other forms of delivering the Word of God, there is really no excuse that we can come up with that will qualify us as being in His permissive will. In this nation, the only two positions we can be considered for is being in His perfect will or in rebellion. Remember now, His perfect will is for us to be pursuing holiness and perfection. When we start making up excuses as to why we don't need to be getting fanatical about following His word, or that nobody's perfect, or that it doesn't take all that, God sees this as rebellion. And as a result, we will end up suffering more for the same things that those in areas of this world that have not been exposed to the Word of God seem to be able to do without consequence. The thing is, the consequence is there, but it is not as severe as it is for us in this nation. Have you ever seen or experienced some tragedy and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, why did this happen?" Well, all across this nation, people ask that question more so out of sheer anguish, with no real desire to know why it happened. The reason I say this is because if the reason for it is because of something they themselves are doing or have done wrong, then they will not accept it. Remember, they asked God for an answer. God sent it, and they rejected it. So what do you think God will do the next time, and the time after that? Unlike myself or any other person, God can read you or read you in your innermost thoughts and therefore knows when you are just running your mouth and putting up a front in the matters of life. Every Sunday, many people file into a church just because it is something they used to do for the appearance of being looked at as being a God-fearing person. Yet, catch them outside the church during the week, and you most likely will see the real them. The things they say and the things they do go totally against what they present on Sundays. Ever hear someone say, "God knows my heart"? No truer words have ever been spoken. However, here is another thing most people don't know, and that is, He knows us better than we know ourselves. Jeremiah 17, verse number 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Our sin nature is so evil that we ourselves fall victim to it, because it will deceive us into thinking that we are doing good and honorable things, when in essence we are destroying ourselves. The only one that really knows me is not me, but God. Any person that says no one knows me better than me is fooling themselves, because they don't even know themselves. Most of the problems we are facing today in this nation, and especially the black community, are the result of people thinking they know what is best for them, when in reality they don't have a clue. The best example nationally is the deficit and debt. A deficit is the result of an entity having to spend more money than it is taking in. In an instance like this, the most prudent and wise thing to do is to cut the spending. But the so-called wise among us figured that all they had to do is borrow the money necessary to meet the spending obligations. Well, when you borrow money to pay the bills, especially when you make no effort to cut the spending, you will end up with even more bills, creating a bigger deficit, because when the borrowed money runs out, you still have those same bills plus the new bill for the borrowed money that you created. That is economics 101. Now, if I can figure that out, and I am by no means a rocket scientist, then why can't they see it? Their deceitful hearts won't let them see it, even though it is the truth. This nation, as of this printing, which at the time was in October the 20th of the year 2013, is 17.039 trillion dollars in debt. That translates to every man, woman, boy, and girl owing $189,000, or every family owing $752,000 if you want to check the numbers for yourself. When you read this, go online to www.usdebtclock.org. That's USDEBTCLOCK.org, and you will see the current real-time numbers. You can also see all expenditures for Social Security, Medicare, and the like on both the federal and state levels. My point is, the truth is out there, but far too many of us aren't looking for it. We are looking to deceitful men and women to guide us, thinking they are looking out for our best interests, when in reality they are looking out for their own interests. The city of Detroit, where I have lived all my 67 years, well, now I happen to be 78 and I'm still here in Detroit, is a classic example of what happens when a single group of people think that they are more intelligent than they actually are, by ignoring proven evidence that says trusting in people just because they look like you does not translate into success. Dr. Martin Luther King said, "People should be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin." Yet, here in Detroit, one of our biggest programs is dealing with that very issue. We have a mayoral election coming in a few days that is pitting a white candidate against a black candidate. And with Detroit having a black population of about 90% and having been under black control for over 40 years, there is the idea that is held by many that we don't need a white person coming in here to save us. Well, this white person, who, by the way, is also a Democrat, has turned a nearly bankrupt institution, the DMC, or the Detroit Medical Center, around to become profitable, has the credentials to do the same thing for this city. But there are those that are not looking at his credentials, only his skin color. The other candidate, in my opinion, is a nice guy. However, the priority of dealing with the finances of this city is something that he has no proven record on. In fact, there are a few questionable actions that he has been involved in that show he may have some hidden things that would disqualify him for the office. But those that are looking strictly at skin color see him as their choice strictly because he is black. So, what we have is a situation that, for all intents and purposes, show that people will ignore the facts about what is needed for their own well-being and follow their own minds about what they refuse to admit, which is leading to their own demise. This is the lunacy This is lunacy by any stretch of the imagination. If you will consider that most blacks have left this city for cities where the racial mixture is about even or majority white, that tells you that those blacks can't stand the lunacy that is going on here. Now, that was a practical example, one of many that I could use. If we look at a similar situation in the spiritual realm, it is even worse, because now you are dealing with things that will destroy not only you, but your children and their children eternally, because once again, the facts are there for you to see. But because you want things the way you want them, you will destroy all that is dear to you just to have things the way that you want them. One of the most profound passages of Bible truth is the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. The first 14 verses start out with God giving direction and making a promise to all those that will hearken diligently and observe to do not some, but all of what He commands. Then God will bless them with every blessing imaginable. From verse 15 down to the end, God promises that those that choose not to hearken diligently and observe to do not some, but all of what He commands, then God will curse them with every curse imaginable. The content of this one chapter outline everything that is going wrong in this world, this nation, and especially the black community. Remember, the truth is out there. Would anyone in their right mind, after reading this entire chapter, choose to actually defy God so that they can reap all these curses? Of course not. Only people that have lost their minds would do that. So now you can begin to see the problem, and that is, we need to seek God for direction. Because here is the bottom line as it pertains to who is or is not in their right mind. If God doesn't give you the ability to function in a right mind, you will be a lunatic, plain and simple. Around the world, people with a certain IQ score or higher are labeled by man as being geniuses, and rightfully so. However, as far as God is concerned, they are imbeciles. Why? Because for the most part, man has set the standards of what qualifies a person to be labeled a genius. However, when you consider that even the most educated among us is only operating on the physical level, which accounts for about 5% of what is reality, that being the total interaction between the spiritual and the physical realms, then this genius is essentially as ignorant as a newborn baby when it comes to solving our problems. man, with his deceitful heart, always seeks what he feels is best for him. He doesn't think about what having his way will mean to anyone else. Consequently, if he gets what he wants and someone else ends up suffering because of it, then that's tough. That's life. However, if he doesn't get his way, then he will set about to change things so that he can. And that is another major problem we have. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, what you will come away with is obedience to God is the best way for everything to be blessed, or everyone to be blessed. It is only when people want to exalt their desires above the clarity of God's word about blessing and cursing that problems arise. The clarity of God's word states, obey and be blessed, rebel and be cursed. You would be surprised at just how many of us choose the latter. And just how do we do this? Usually at the direction of geniuses, the educated elite, science, or some slick-talking individuals, especially politicians and preachers, that tell us what we want to hear. Next month, part 3 will give you examples of the absolute lunacy that is running rampant in this nation to the destruction of us all. Most of you may not like it, but that will be up to you whether you read it all or not. But remember this, truth is truth, and for too long, most of us have rebelled against it. Well, that's the end of part 2 of our message here, and like I say, we got one more part to go, and I'll give you a synopsis, if you will, or a closing closing thoughts on the message. So until we get together again for another message from the Word of God, let me just say to you and your families, may God bless you and your families until we get together for another, for part 3, hopefully, of this message. The truth is out there. Good day.